Good day, everyone. Hope you're doing well today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Oregon. And when we talk about health, we can't discuss complete health without talking about our mental health. And on this program, we highlight mental health issues for our community and ways we can improve mental health for everyone. Today, we'll be discussing challenges and promises for mental health in rural America. My guest today is Chuck Strand, Executive Director of Rural Minds. Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. So you grew up in northern Michigan, and you had a career in nonprofit leadership and patient advocacy. What drew you to this mental health work, and particularly Rural Minds?
Well, I've always been interested in mental health, and I can appreciate from a firsthand basis the challenges that people in rural communities, small towns and farming communities or whatever it might be, fishing communities, just so many rural isolated areas around the country. And it's just such a lack of services and many barriers that are just specific to the mental health and the care that people need. And there's greater stigma, too. So I think over the years, I was involved, as you mentioned, in nonprofit patient advocacy work. And I came to realize that personally, I think that the role of the importance of mental health really is a priority, because I often have so much admiration for people who may have a severe physical disability, yet are so vital and vibrant and they're doing the very best they can with their circumstances and are leading a very full life. And on the other hand, you have people who pass away by suicide, and it's so often a mystery because it seemed like they had everything going for them, and obviously they were struggling. The importance of mental health, to me personally, I think is just the foundation of overall health,
right.
Physical and mental.
Totally true. So what do you see as the most pressing mental health challenges that face rural communities? You did mention difficult to get resources. It's kind of difficult to get resources anywhere, but are there particular challenges that face rural communities?
There are several challenges, which makes it really kind of understandable in terms of the higher rates of suicide. Mm-hmm. People in rural communities are 49% more likely to die by suicide when compared to their counterparts in major urban areas. That's the latest statistic from the CDC. Mm-hmm. And I think, and of course, there are many people struggling in other capacities beyond that, the desperation of dying by suicide. But I think some of the factors that are part of the barriers just include a combination of geographic and structural or infrastructural limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that are in rural communities often are so isolated in terms of being able to access the health care, whether it's physical health care or mental health care.
Right.
They're a greater distance from any providers, and there's also often limited access to internet, sometimes non-existent. Sometimes the internet is not reliable. So the idea of telemental health, which has become more popular, and just virtual meetings overall, especially after COVID, it's not an option, unfortunately, for a lot of people.
Right.
And then you also have the lifestyle barriers. And in addition to the stigma that I mentioned, there's also this often a mindset of people who grew up in a rural area where they have to learn to be independent and self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I grew up in a small town in Upper Michigan near Lake Superior, for years now I've been living, my wife and I have raised our family outside of Chicago in a suburb. And like so many other people, I can pick up the phone, and if I need help with something, you know, a van will roll up and help fix my pipe in a couple of days. But when you're isolated, you often don't have that luxury. And you got to figure it out yourself, and you've got to solve your own problems. So when you have that mindset of solving your own problems, not being comfortable or even able to ask for help from somebody, and you combine that with the mental health challenges and the barriers that exist in a rural community, that can all often be an insurmountable barrier in terms of getting the help that people need for a mental illness or a mental health condition.
Have you seen the stigma around mental illness decreasing over time, or do you feel like it's kind of pretty entrenched in rural communities?
Well, I think it is getting better, and that's just my armchair estimation.
Right.
I think that, you know, COVID, there are very few bright spots of that experience that we all shared together as a country in the world. But it did bring the conversation of mental health more to the forefront. So people aren't as apprehensive about talking about mental health, but there's still a long ways to go, especially in rural communities.
Sure.
And you know, it's hopefully it'll get to the point where, you know, years ago people referred to cancer as the C word, and now we talk openly, as we should, about all forms of cancer. But I think it's part of the stigma, and this again is just my personal opinion, but unlike a disease such as cancer or diabetes, which are recognized as true illnesses, mental illness is also a true illness. But I think the fact that everyone can relate to being a little depressed or a little anxious, and I don't think there's an appreciation for really understanding the situation that someone who may be struggling with an actual illness, it's much more than that. So The unfortunate part of that is the person who's struggling with a mental illness has also the greater stigma and the lack of empathy and understanding from people who are around them. So it creates additional shame and stigma, a difficult combination of circumstances for somebody to deal with in a rural community.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, pull yourself together kind of thing and just, you know, just get over it sort of thing. But when one of your organs, i.e. the brain, is not working, there's sometimes not much you can do. Yeah. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck, and my guest is Chuck Strand, Executive Director of Rural Minds. So let's talk about your the initiative of your Rural Minds, because there are some unique barriers to care for rural residents for mental health care. What is your organization, Rural Minds, doing to help address some of those?
Well, we are the only national 501c3 nonprofit that's focused exclusively on rural mental health care, the mental health inequity, and the challenges that people are facing. So we are developing information, whether it's educational content and resources and programs, to address the challenges that people are facing in rural communities. Mm-hmm. And we're very fortunate to have many partnerships on many levels, and one of them is NAMI, and we appreciate our partnership with the organization that you're with.
Yeah.
As similar to Mental Health America and Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance, we have a lot of respect for the great work that you and other organizations have been doing for years with mental health resources and information. But with the added stigma and the statistics that have been attributed to mental health in rural communities, there's obviously something that isn't resonating with people in rural communities. So we're almost, you know, somewhat of an adjunct to what's already being done out there, but we're just focused on rural communities and recognizing that it truly is different. And the partnerships that we have on many fronts, which also include organizations that have a strong presence with members and people that are in their organization who live in a rural community, it's so important. We do a lot of work with the National Grange, which has been around since the 1800s, and they have like 1,400 locations around the country. And that's so important because part of our mission at Rural Minds is to serve as the informed voice for mental health in rural America. And we certainly can't do that without talking to people in rural communities and understanding what are those unmet and underserved needs, and not only knowing what they are, but then when we are developing programs and information to help address those challenges, we want to make sure that it's culturally relevant to the people that we want to serve. Mm-hmm. And once the program is up and running, as, and I'll mention another example of a program, but once the program's up and running and people are using the content, it's so important that the people who are in rural America are able to access that and then be a trusted source of information, because we know people in rural communities really want to get their information, especially something that's as highly stigmatized as mental health information. They want to talk to someone they know, look them in the eye, shake their hand. It's a great circle in terms of the relationship that we have with the organizations that have a presence in rural communities. They inform us. We work together in partnership in developing programs, and then they're the folks who are able to actually introduce those programs into the rural communities as a trusted source of information.
So what are some of the most impactful programs or initiatives that you guys have launched? And do you have any that are happening in Oregon or Southern Oregon?
Well, we are national, so we are, you know, happy to do what we can in terms of a localized or regional partnership with organizations. But all the content that we have on for Rural Minds, we're a virtual organization, so it's all available at ruralminds.org.
Okay.
And one of the programs that we've launched recently has been the Rural Mental Health Resilience Program. And it really is, the strategy is based on what I had mentioned as far as the do-it-yourself DIY mindset that's so common in many rural communities. So we have the program accessible with all the information that's available at no charge. And there's many things that are available as a PDF so they can be printed for people that don't have the internet. But the gist of the program is to recognize, based on some of the statistics that I've shared, there truly is a mental health emergency in rural America, but we don't want to leave it as shock and awe. We want to have people understand that, yes, you know, there is this huge problem, but here's a way that you as a resident in a rural community can be part of making things better, part of, you know, improving mental health for folks through this program, because there's a lot of great information. It's not all-encompassing by any means, but it's a really nice footprint, and it's always expanding and growing, but the content that we have there is designed to meet people where they're at. So if people want to do as much or as little as they feel comfortable in, whether that's just learning about the various mental health conditions, that we have fact sheets that are, you know, a quick read, one page double-sided, just talking about, you know, some of the conditions that we all hear about, but how are they, what are they exactly? How are they different? How are they diagnosed? How prevalent are they? All that type of thing.
Yeah. What kind of treatment is available?
Information.
Yeah.
And how to have tough conversations with someone that you might think is struggling with a mental health condition and open up that conversation, make it more approachable. And we have a PowerPoint presentation that people can pull down and use in their local community. Key messages for a TED Talk if they prefer that. And something as simple as just a flyer for the program that can be printed out, put on a bulletin board in a rural place of business or place of worship, and have people just raise awareness for the fact that, again, there is this emergency, but here's a URL, here's a QR code that you can use to get the information that can allow you to be part of the solution to improving things in your local community for mental health.
Right, right. So any kind of community organization then could access this material and then present it in their community, it sounds like.
Exactly, yeah. And even just an individual, just to help folks with what they were interested in knowing or how much they want to share. And we respect people with, you know, with the fact that people want, you know, different levels of how they are comfortable talking about this. So this is designed to be either something someone could access and learn on their own or share it with others or share it with the whole community.
Yeah. Now, how could policymakers better support rural mental health? Where do you see opportunities for meaningful change for rural mental health?
Yeah. Well, back to our mission again, serving as an informed voice for mental health in rural America. We've recently added a webpage to our website that is all about rural policy and legislation, and it's bipartisan. But the point is that we want to let people know what's happening that does have an impact on their local economy. Because all of that, you know, mental health is a big topic. And so we, of course, are always interested in mental health initiatives that are specific to rural communities. But we also recognize that a lot of the things that are happening to somebody, regardless of where they live, just the stability of having an income or health care, all those are part of feeling like things are okay. And, and with those things are in flux, then people have more anxiety, they're more stressful, and that can, you know, it's not mentally healthy to feel that way. And if they're already struggling with a mental health condition, that makes it worse. And if they're have the same thing with having a physical health condition, that brings additional stress and anxiety. There's a lot of things that play into this. So what we've done is launch this webpage to let people become aware of some of the policy and legislation that is affecting rural communities. And we also always have a similar to what we did with that example of the flyer for the program I mentioned, we have information that people can use to be part of the solution or to make their voice heard. So we don't want to just present a problem and leave it at that. We always want to make people aware of a challenge or a problem, but then give them an opportunity and how they can make a difference, how they can weigh in with their voice and reach elected officials with a message that they want to share based on the information they've received from the website.
So the best way an everyday person could get involved or be a part of this solution would be to go to your website and explore some of those resources and then maybe see how they could be used in their community?
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing that the Rural Minds website provides is a portal to all the public-facing mental health information in various topics. So we have a lot of great content on there from NAMI and from MHA. We don't want to recreate the wheel, and it's not about us. It's about what we can do to help people get the resources they need. And by having a portal that, you know, it's just one small part of our website, but there is a portal that's under one of the tabs on the main page navigation that is lists resources by topic, resources by, you know, alphabetized, and then also there's a separate webpage just for people who are in crisis with the mental health challenge.
Yeah, I've been to your webpage, and it is really well organized and accessible.
You.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you. That gives us some hope for the future of rural mental health, and that's our time for today. Thank you, Chuck, for coming on the show. We really appreciate speaking with you. This is Chuck Strand of Rural Minds, Executive Director. Please find more information about NAMI Southern Oregon at our website, namisouthernoregon.org, or email us at info@namisouthernoregon.org. We also offer support groups, classes, and advocacy opportunities in our community. You have been listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Andra Hollenbeck, and you can find us at jeffexchange.org or on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.